Log Talk Radio.
We'll do it live! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Things suck!
Well, I'm not gonna lie, Brian. It does suck. Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour live post-game show. I'm your host, Ralph Marlboro. Brian from Saints Nation was nice enough to pinch hit for us. Brian, football is a cruel, cruel, horrible game in 2016.
Pardon me while I drag the railroad spike out of my gut.
The Saints managed to lose 16-13 today. They did not allow the Giants to score an offensive touchdown. They got three turnovers. They sacked Eli Manning twice, and they still managed to lose. Again, it came down to a corner making a play. Last week, it was a two-point conversion, and Crawley had the coverage. This week, Brian, for all the world, when that ball was in the air, I said, Devonta Harris is going to pick that ball off, and it just didn't happen. Giants ran out the clock, kicked the field goal, and that was your ball game. I don't know. Brian, I think you're going to be hard-pressed to see the Saints play better defense the rest of the year. They lost P.J. Williams on, what, the sixth play the Giants had. And thank goodness he looks like he's going to be okay. And they still held it down. And I know the Giants made mistakes, but the Saints hang in there. They stopped them. They got some key turnovers. And they still couldn't win, and they're 0-2 by a total of 4 points. I mean, I'm kind of at a loss for words because I don't know what to say at this point.
Yeah, that was brutal. the defense. I mean, they had a pass rush. Cam Jordan had a monster game. And that was while being basically double teamed and held like half the game, which of course it's illegal to call.
Whenever you say
I thought the officiating
Saints
in this game
rush,
was horrible overall.
Whenever you say the Saints pass rush has a good game, that translates to Cam Jordan was phenomenal today. Like that, you'll never have a game in 2016 where you're like the Saints had a good pass rush today, and Cam Jordan isn't like 75% of it, maybe more. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just the way it goes. And I argue with people on Twitter that I like sometimes, and they're like, you know, they pay Cam Jordan all this money and he's not elite. I'm like, well, Cam Jordan is an elite. He's not an elite player. Cam Jordan is a B-plus player surrounded by trash on the defensive line, and teams can usually say, Cam Jordan, we're not going to let you beat us today. And the Giants couldn't do it, you know? I thought, Brian, tell me, I thought Spags coached the pants off Sean Payton today. I thought the Giants' plan was better. They covered the Saints' receivers. The Saints either couldn't or wouldn't run the ball against the Giants' nickel defense. And, you know, that was one thing that was really frustrating to me.
I'm going to disagree with that slightly. I mean, number one, Pete Carmichael looked to be like the one who was calling the plays, not Sean. And I did feel like that had an impact on the game. But I thought that there was a lot of plays there. The Saints had the Giants beat. Like, just far, if we're just looking at the coaching, you know, right call, right time, guys couldn't catch it. Guys couldn't hold on to it. And then, you know, just looking at the running game, and I did think the running game was a huge part of the loss. They couldn't create any holes up the middle. In particular, when they ran to the right-hand side, there was just zero push at all.
You know, and I'm going to say this.
Ingram?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, Ingram never got
Ingram in the open field, I think he had like 6 or 7 plays throughout the game where he did get in the open field, and it felt like absolutely every single time the second a Giants player breathed on him, he was down. Like, the worst one was he had a play out to the right-hand side, and he's got nothing but daylight, and the guy, like, touches the shoelace on his finger, and he falls on his face.
Yeah, and, you know, the holding penalty on Brandon Coleman was a killer. But I'm going to disagree with people on Twitter. They're saying that, you know, Brandon Coleman, he's got to make – that second circus catch that he almost made, that throws on Breeze. And I'm going to tell you why. Brandon Coleman ran that route exactly right. That's a back shoulder throw that Breeze did for a decade to Colston. But Breeze has got to put that in a better spot for Coleman to make that catch. Brandon Coleman ran the route, did the exact thing where you throw it to the back shoulder, and Breeze threw it kind of, you know, and made Coleman have to make a circus catch on it, you know?
Yeah, the second one was more on Breeze than Coleman. I thought it looked like Breeze got rushed maybe just a bit on the throw.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that was just, you know, they couldn't get the play call in time or they weren't set right, so they kind of rushed the play. I would rather have just burned the time out there and try to get the first down, but it is what it is.
Well, I thought that the play calling and the whole sort of offense was out of whack today. The Saints were a disaster at the end of the first half, you know, where they – ended up where Breeze, they had to take a penalty, you know, I think right before the half, after the blocked field goal, they had to take a penalty because they didn't have any timeouts and they waited too long to call a timeout. Like the whole series right before the half, they ended up getting 3 points, but they kind of butchered it. And you don't see the Saints very, very rarely with Sean Payton. Do you see him botch clock management? And they did it at the end of the first half. Not that it mattered. It kind of worked out in the end that they got the field goal, but they just seemed out of sorts on offense all day. And it wasn't necessarily what the Giants were doing. They were just like a golfer just with the swing, just like out of rhythm, you know?
Yeah, they looked a little discombobulated, and it just felt like they came into the game and they had certain matchups that they were trying to get. And it felt like they were almost trying to force those matchups. Like, we're getting to this. We're going to these guys. Those are our plays. And I think the one thing that I didn't like, and this would probably be the one thing major just game planning scheme-wise I would change, is in those late situations, and even, you know, not necessarily just late in the game, but just those third and long type situations, if you're going to throw a contested pass to somebody, it needs to be the guy on the team with the best hands. And that's Michael Thomas. He's got the best hands and the best ball skills.
Yeah.
2 games into his NFL career, it's very clear. This guy has, like, inborn stickum on his hands. To throw it to the one play to Cadet, that was just a fucking terrible drop. Fleener had a couple of bad ones. He had a couple others where the player made a good play. A great player makes that catch.
Yeah.
And Fleener's a good to very good player depending on the day. He's not a great player, so don't expect that. But there were a couple others where the player made it. The first drop he had was bad. He had another one where Drew looked like he was ready to murder him. But he had a couple of other plays where he didn't really have a chance, and it looked like it was almost just a throwaway and like, hey, here, maybe you can do something. The Saints weren't getting the looks and the openings they wanted. Janoris Jenkins is kind of a 50-50 corner. Half the time, he's incredible. Half the time, he gets roasted. Unfortunately for the Saints, today was incredible day. He had great coverage all day. And the one thing that really kind of pissed me off, just because of the way the game ended, the Giants' corners were handsy. If the Saints wore body paint, the Giants players' hands would all be black and gold all game long.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous how much grabbing and shoving and pulling they were doing on the Saints wide receivers, which is part of why Breeze couldn't find somebody open. Yet they call bullshit fucking penalty for Odell Beckham when he literally pushes the defender in the face mask and somehow that's a penalty on Moore. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why the Raiders game, the calls at the end of the game didn't drive me bonkers like it did some people, because the refs were calling the game tight the whole way and the Saints got a bunch of beneficial calls last week. I don't mind it if the referees – I just want – if you're going to be crappy, at least if you're consistent, I can live with it, you know? You know, and the Saints are 0-2, and it looks like it's going to be a slow march to 7-9, 8-8 again, Brian. But I'm going to tell you something today. And the defense, they played phenomenal. And I'm going to tell you something that They played phenomenal, and I think it's a good sign, and I know you might laugh at me, but really, the run defense against the Raiders last week was fine until the 70-yard disaster, and the whole thing just collapsed on them. But today, the Giants were committed to running the ball, I think. The Giants went into that game and said, you know what? We can spread the Saints out, and they'll have their four-man front, they'll have four and five in the box, and we'll run it, and we'll gash them, because the last 2 years, they've been a disaster against the run. Giants ran it 32 times for 64 yards. And I'm telling you, there wasn't a lot of holes. I mean, Kevin Williamson and your guy Tyler Davidson, they were mucking it up in there, and there was nowhere to run. And the Saints, they were winning the line of scrimmage on defense. Now, they couldn't last week at home against the Raiders. But I'm going to tell you something. I mean, that's a real good sign to me that for 2 weeks the run defense has been a lot better than it's been the last two years. Now, I know you can't take out the 72-yard run against the Raiders, but you know, they whipped ass today in the line of scrimmage, and that's what partially why the secondary was able to hold up, because the Giants, Brian, they couldn't run the ball and get into third and four and second and two and second three and do play action. When they were running the ball, man, if they ran the ball, it was second and eight, second and nine, and that put the Saints in a good spot, you know?
Yeah, no, I thought that was a huge part, and one guy in particular I kind of want to give a round of applause to. He's had a phenomenal first 2 weeks, but I think he does not get enough love from a lot of Saints fans, especially on, you know, Saints Twitter. That's Kenny Vaccaro. That guy is the heart of this defense, period. Yeah. Kenny Vaccaro is the heartbeat of that defense.
Thank goodness his ankle's okay. Okay, Brian, we got some calls I want to get to. We identify you by the last four digits of your phone number. 0539, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Ralph, it's Dylan. How you doing?
Dylan, what's going on, man?
I'm just driving back up to school right now. I was really happy to see you guys are doing a show today. I'm really depressed right now. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm so tired of losing.
You can't go back, but I'm going to tell you, man, if the Saints had thieved the game today, and that's what it would have been, because when the Saints don't score at least 20 and they win a football game, you feel like you stole one, right? If they'd have stole that game today, you feel like you're coming home against Atlanta on a Monday night, you're going to San Diego, suddenly you're like, oh, maybe we could they could have something, you know, and they still have got to get to 2-2 if they're going to salvage anything. But I mean, you felt like and the thing was, it was so, and I said it on Twitter tonight, you know, it was so much to ask of the defense to say when it was 13-13, defense, you got to make another stop. But even if the Saints had drove down there and scored and made it 17-13, that defense was going to have to make another stand either way. And they just, you know, they just couldn't do it. And it's not really banging on the defense. I think overall you would say the offense didn't do their job today. But, I mean, today would have been a really, really nice win, you know.
Look, I mean, this is what I think, and this is, like, my personal opinion. Like, I just don't think the Saints have that killer instinct right now to win games at the end of the game. Like we did in Atlanta week one of 2013, how we stole a game against Tampa week two. But look, I'm gonna tell you this: the Saints aren't that good, but Atlanta is bad, and we're light years ahead of Atlanta. We're gonna score.
How are they doing next Monday night?
I caught the beginning of it before I left. But Matt Ryan, like, attacked the first game, first play.
Well, I mean. You know, and Tampa's losing 10-0. Carolina won today, easy over San Francisco. So you're not, you know, you're not going to have anybody in the South that's 2-0. So you're not too back. So it's not out of the thing. The hardest thing, Dylan, is, you know, PJ Williams got hurt today, and look, I'll give Brian all the credit in the world. He's been a P.J. Williams guy, saying he was good. And P.J. Williams, of course, he makes a phenomenal play to start, gets concussed. He's probably going to be out a while, I would think, you know.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you can smoke and mirrors that son of a gun like you did today with the Saints, but you cannot win consistently on defense with the corners the Saints have. I don't care. I mean, I don't care if the Saints had a really – if the Saints had a really, really, really good pass rush, they would still be in a bad spot with their secondary, how it is. With their pass rush,
I mean,
how it is now.
You have, what, your top five corners, I think, are all out now at this point.
Yes, top five.
The question will be how quick Williams can come back, because you're just looking at it. San Diego doesn't really have any receivers now that Keenan Allen's out. I mean, Benjamin's good, but he's not going to break the game all on his own. Sterling Moore's actually a good veteran. He played really well on Beckham Jr. today, to give him credit. You know, he's a guy that stayed in the league for a while, and there's a reason for that. He can at least play. Crawley actually had a pretty good game. I mean, we know he has the talent, but to ask him to mature and develop that fast is just not fair to him. I thought, honestly, Devontae Harris has played really, really well in the slot through two games. He got beat by Sterling a few times, but that guy is just ridiculously quick.
And a couple
of those were plays I don't put any blame on Harris for.
No, Harris is going to be an NFL. He's going to be, at worst, an NFL nickel corner. He's a guy the NFL team said, you're not tall enough, and we're not drafting you because you're not tall enough. And he is proving that it doesn't really matter. Like, I think Harris is more likely to be the guy. But, Dylan, before we let you go,
yes.
What's your outlook for the rest of the or how are you feeling about the are you feeling a doom scenario of like four wins, or are you feeling still they're going to slog their way to six, seven, eight wins?
Yeah, this is how I feel about the Saints. I feel like they're close to being a winning, like a decent, you know, 9-10 like win team, but they just have had bad luck with injuries. The ball hasn't been bouncing their way at the end of games. They just need to start finding a way to win again. They need that killer instinct back that they used to have. And, you know, I don't know what it's going to take. I just feel like, you know, somebody has a voodoo doll with the Saints on them right now. I mean, it's just sucks so much. But I think we'll crawl up to 4-4 and then we'll, you know, we'll collapse back to 4-7 and finish 7-9 as we always do. So.
All right, Dylan, thanks for the call.
You know what I
will say, Brian, is you know, the thing is with the Saints is Stephon Anthony, like, where the fuck is he? Like, where is he? Like, they drafted him number one and Michael Marty's playing instead of him, and Michael Marty, all the credit in the world, he looked good again today. But like, they drafted Stephon Anthony as a first round guy, and he's not seeing the field, you know?
Yeah. I don't know what's up with that, but, and we'll see how that develops throughout the course of the season. You know, if, you know, within the next couple of weeks, he starts getting a lot more play time. And then, you know, by the end of the year, he's getting all the snaps at Sam and he's playing really well. You know, it's fine, because at this point, game one, I do think Stephon Anthony playing more plays would have made a big difference, especially in that fourth quarter. But in this game, it wasn't the linebackers or the ability to stop the runs or even the blitz, which are all things that he does much better than Mouty. None of those are why the Saints lost. So, you know, I'm not going to lambast them for not playing a guy that, at least in this game, I don't know if he made a huge difference. But, I mean, if we get halfway through the year and he's not playing, trade him for a pass rusher. Trade him for a guard. Trade him for something, because he's got the talent. And here's the thing. Like, and I'll just throw this out, because I'm wild theory guy. So San Francisco hasn't even been playing Joshua Garnett. which is the guy that Sean Payton was like almost in tears over not getting picked in the first round. I mean, you could just see Sean was devastated because that was their guy. And for the record, he was mine too.
You call up Chip Kelly and say, do you want Stephon Anthony?
They need athletic linebackers. He'd be a great fit next to, you know, with Brooks there and with, God, I'm forgetting his name, Bowman, you know, what they have there in that linebacker. Anthony would be a perfect fit for them. Like, he fits what they need and want. If you could flip him for Garnett, it's basically the same pick as far as salary, so it pretty much adds up. I'd do it. I mean, if you tell me that the only spot on the offensive line that would be even remotely a question going into next year would be right tackle, you can get a replacement level right tackle for cheap. And they're going to have a ton of money. Like, if that's the worst case scenario for Stephon Anthony, I'm okay with that. As much as I love the guy, I think he's got a lot of potential. If you could flip him for Garnett, that's a win for me. If you can't do that, though, you've got to find a way to get the kid on the field, because there is one positive I do take from these first two games, which is the youth. I don't think a lot of people understand, it's not a shot, but like what Dylan was talking about, that killer instinct. Well, killer instinct comes from confidence and execution and experience as a unit working together. The Saints, very quietly and kind of out of nowhere the last couple of years, have become an incredibly young team. There's veterans sprinkled throughout at key positions and leadership spots that make you think they're old. They're not. They're really young, and especially at the skill positions, at corner, at linebacker, at wide receiver, even at tight end. These are young guys. I like what I'm seeing from them talent-wise. I like what I'm seeing from them as far as, you know, this is a team that doesn't look like they're going to be the Browns for the next 10 years post-Breeze. That said, though, talent is great, but talent is awful when it's riding the bench. That's why I didn't care about C.J. Spiller getting cut. I still feel that he became a redundant player for the offense. And two, the guy was always hurt. He was always on the bench. So, you know, great. In hindsight, C.J. Spiller would have been great on this one play, except that he doesn't run better routes than Kadett, even though if he catches the ball, he's way more dangerous in the field. So it just kind of puts you in a bad situation. And I think that's the last piece of the puzzle for the Saints. You know, we're saying that after two games is just...
Well, the problem for the Saints is...
and find out what they have.
The problem for the Saints, though, is at linebacker, you know, if you get a good season out of Laurinaitis, like, he's a patch, you know, and that's the bottom line. So if you get rid of Anthony and you trade him for the guard for San Francisco, right? Or, you know, then what do you have at linebacker? You've got Robertson, Ellerby, who's never on the field.
Robertson can play Mike, though.
Yeah, but I mean, in theory, you'd want something better. I guess though, if you got the guard from San Francisco, you'd have $30 million in cap room, and you could go and get you some linebackers in free agency because those teams don't value them very high. So you could go and get them and get some pass rushers. It's just so frustrating because they're really close to being 2-0. And, you know, they'd kind of be a fraud at 2-0, but a 2-0 fraud is better than a hard luck 0-2, you know?
Hey, a fraudulent Falcons team made the playoffs and scored 2 points. And God knows the Saints and Drew Brees wouldn't score 2 points in the playoffs, but you get them there. I mean, I'd call that a win. So, I mean, I'd take 2-0 over 0-2, but this one does hurt less than last week's just because – this one, last week's was a choke job. The Saints were kicking the Raiders' ass. Bro went out of the game. And good God, I think the guy played almost a full quarter on a broken fucking leg. So he's just tough. But, like, he went out and then that just flipped the game for them. As much as the Odell Beckham penalty pisses me off, and I do feel like to that degree the Saints got screwed, if Coleman makes that first catch, and the first one I do put on him because he had the ball secured and he couldn't complete it for the catch. That's on him. I mean, there's just so many what-ifs for the Saints on that final drive for offense that it's more of, okay, they shot themselves in the foot because guys who probably really shouldn't be out there reminded us of why they shouldn't be out there versus the Raiders where the Saints went from we're going to skull drag them and I get to enjoy myself with all the Raiders fans at work to, okay, now my week sucks.
Yeah, the Craig Robertson had 10 solo tackles and 2 for losses. He's been a really good at it. I mean, the thing that's so frustrating, I guess, with the Saints is, you know, people can knock them for the dead money, and you know, we can talk about that for days. But I feel like, you know, and the national media would just say, oh, the defense sucks again, blah, 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 blah. But I feel like the Saints, they didn't even get to see if their plan, if it worked, you know, because you lost Kikaha. You don't have Ellerby, although Ellerby's hurt all the time, but you don't have Kikaha. Your top 5 corners are gone. Rankins isn't playing. Like, their whole offseason plan, like, they didn't even get to see if it worked, you know? Like,
yeah.
I mean, can you imagine today if they would have had Rankins added in with what they got out of Jordan? And even Kruger had some nice moments. I mean, you know, if you had Rankins, if you had Kikaha added in the pass rush, if you had Ellerby, if you had 2 of your top 5 corners, you know? I mean, like, that's the frustrating thing with this team is you know, you didn't even really get to see what put it together. Twitter is ready to throw Kobe Fleener overboard and watch him drown. I'm not there yet with him. I still think the thing is with Spiller is, you know, he had the one play against Dallas, right? But you never ever saw a game at all where they like did things with Spiller and they tried to work him in and you were like, oh yeah, I can see how that's going to work. Like with Fleener today, they targeted him what, 8 times and he caught, let's see, you know,
2 of them, I think.
Let's see. He caught
29.
Two,
I want to say.
Yeah, 2 for 29. They targeted him 8 times. But like, I can see it, you know, and I can see it. Like when they play really awful teams in coverage, I can see Fleener being. I can see Fleener being what they thought he would be. And is he worth $7 million a year? I don't know. But I'm not ready to toss him and say he's a complete failure. I still think I see it. I see what they have in mind for him. Does that make sense? I never saw
that
in Spiller. Like for Spiller, I was just like, what the fuck are they doing? He's not playing. They're not having game. They're not designing plays for him. Like, there's nothing, you know?
Yeah, and just in the interest of fairness to Fleener, he had a bad game. I mean, I'm definitely one of the bigger apologists on Saints Twitter. Andrew gives me shit sometimes, calls me company man, but I think 2 games is way too early to decide things on Fleener, especially because a lot of plays, like, you know, he's being brought into, like, Chip and stuff like that to protect, especially to the right side when Kelemete had to take over for Streif. You know, some of those things. I just think, like, he's not completely being used the way they originally intended. But that first drop was awful. Although that was also a classic Jimmy Graham drop for, like, the fans. We just kept Graham. That was, like, that play right there is what Jimmy dropped. Like, it felt like 9 times out of 10. Like, the Jimmy catch, oops. And that's not excusing. It was just, like, I've seen this song and dance before. The one where it looked like Drew overthrew him to the end zone, that's the one play that I really have a problem with him on because he unnecessarily – threw a stutter step to try to shake Casillas when he already had him beat. If he doesn't lose that half a step, that ball hits
touchdown.
Him square in the hands and he walks into the end zone. That was not on Drew. That was on Fleener, period. He doubted his route and that he had his man beat, tried to put an extra move and screwed up the timing on the play. And if Drew hits Fleener for that touchdown, the Saints almost definitely win this game. So
yeah.
That's
when was
the big
that
one, and then that was, I think it
was
late
was
third quarter, early fourth quarter.
When it was 10-10?
Yeah. And 17-10 with the way the defense was playing is definitely a different ball game. Even if the Giants go tie it up, that gives you the opportunity to come down and kick a field goal for the win. And speaking of field goals, I can't believe it went this long without mentioning it, but
yeah.
Andres Pete deserves 99.9% of the blame on that blocked field goal, because I believe he's the one that missed the block.
Yeah.
Anyone who talks about trajectory or any of the other issues with Lutz, and yes, there are issues, can shut up on that play.
Because
no kicker, all the guy has to do is just not get a free rush through and block it with his entire arm, and the ball still travels forward, and they don't return it for a touchdown.
Yeah.
All that has to happen is they just don't get a touchdown on the play, and as much as it sucks, we don't care.
Yeah, like low trajectory is a kicker issue, but low trajectory is like what happened when he made the field goal last week. Like, yeah, it was low, and the guy got the hand on it, and miracle of miracles, it went through. But when a team stuffs it back and they scoop and score, that ain't on the kicker. Okay, the only time it's on the kicker is like if the kicker hits it fat and you hear it and it thud and like the kicker like hits ground and ball, you know, like a golf shot. But it wasn't that. I mean, this team, I mean, Atlanta, by the way, Atlanta's beating Oakland. So in case you were wondering, you know, This team, man, they you know, Streif is nicked. We'll have to see how that goes. I mean, this team isn't built to you know, and this is one of the things I think we argued when you had me on your podcast. You know, this is one thing I argue with you guys is the Saints aren't built to absorb hardly any injuries. Their roster was fragile as it was. And my thing with you is, you know, you were like, well, I think PJ Williams is going to be good and they're going to be okay at corner. And you think Tyler Davis is going to be good. And you know, all these things. I'm like, well, all of these questions that we have with the Saints, they're not all going to work out. And when you sprinkle in some injuries, that's when you have trouble, you know. And I don't know if the New England Patriots could handle this amount of roster, although they lost Garoppolo today and Gronk. But, I mean, the Saints, this is a huge amount of injuries that I just – this roster's just not – I don't know that if you took –
Nobody could take this many injuries to one position group. Like, the Seahawks and their legendary depth don't have enough corners for this.
Yeah.
The part that pisses me off the most – is at least through two games, I was fucking right on all of those players that I was pointing out. I'm batting 1,000. The problem is, Kelvin Bro got hurt, and that just completely changes the defense. Like, even Von Bell got in the game. He was phenomenal today. Von Bell looked fantastic.
Well, remember, Von Bell was my choice for the Saints' best rookie. You know, remember?
Yeah. No, I do remember it, and I think that was a great pick. But
you know, I said going
to not catch a break. My God.
No. And the thing is, I said it going into the year. I thought their secondary had a chance to be really, really freaking good. Because if you had, you know, it didn't work out this way. But if you had a healthy Keenan Lewis and a healthy Bro, and oh my God, then PJ Williams is your third corner, and you've got Crawley and Parker and Wilson fighting it out. That's a deep six corners, man. That's a good six guys, you know?
Did you just call Devontae Harris Parker?
I did, because he's the receiver for the Dolphins. I get him confused.
I love it.
I struggle not to do that. Like, I have to consciously tell my brain to call him Harris and not Parker. But, you know, and then they were just ravaged by injuries. And then, and the shame of it was, you know, we were all worried about the offensive line, and they sort of lucked into Jarry Evans coming back. And that I think the potential, the problem with the Saints offensive line is, and this is going to sound negative, but it's not meant to be. When you're counting on some old dogs of Evans and Streif. When you're counting on old guys to get you through 16 weeks, the problem is Streif hurt his chest today. Well, it may be big, it may not be big, but the problem is when you're over 30 and you get nicked, you don't recover like you do when you're 25. So it just takes a toll, and that's the problem. Like, Streif and Evans will be fine if they don't get nicked, but if they get nicked, then you're back where you started. The good thing for the Saints is Calumet is a really good backup. He's like a slightly below average starter. He's not a guy you want starting all the time, but like as a guy that can fill in for a week or two or fill in today, like he was really good. But man, I just, the thing is with the Saints is I don't think you can believe in any, Atlanta's about to score again, by the way. To go up 17-7, I don't think you can trust this defense in any shape or form. Like, just because they look good today, like, I have no faith that Julio Jones wouldn't light them up next week for 225 and three. You know?
Oh, without PJ, I'm positive like they will. If PJ Williams isn't back next week, Julio Jones is going to go nuts.
There's no way in the concussion protocol that PJ Williams not playing. There's no way.
Oh, he could. I've seen a guy get lit up like that and play the next week. It's not likely, and I don't recommend it. But
yeah,
it's conceivably possible. But without him, like, because he's the only corner who has enough physicality to be able to match up with Julio.
Because
like Crawley actually he's a great athlete. He's got good cover skills. He had some really nice plays in this game. Julio's going to stiff arm him into oblivion. And same thing with like Harris. Like, they're just going to get tossed out of the play. Jones is too big and strong. The only hope is Matt Ryan.
Well, I think the hope that you have to have with Atlanta is that their offensive line is really bad, so you can get a pass rush at home on a Monday night raucous crowd, and you can get maybe a little bit better pass rush than you got today, you know? And you could get Cam Jordan getting his two sacks and a bunch of pressures, but you can also get Kruger getting in on the fun and Laurinaitis blitzing and getting a couple. So you get, instead of getting two sacks, you get three, four, five, and you force Matt Ryan into mistakes, because that's the only hope for this defense is that they run. I mean, they had three turnovers. I mean, the odds of winning a football game, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I want to say when you lose the turnover battle 0-3, you lose like 90% of the time. Now, on the flip side, when you give up the special teams touchdown, you also lose about 80% of the time. So it's one of those. The Saints had dual things going on. But before we get out of here, Brian, we have a couple minutes left. What's your thoughts after 2 weeks and your prognosis for not the rest of the year, but the next? What's your prognosis for where they'll be at the midpoint of the season, saying that Drew Brees plays every week?
I think they'll be like around like one game under 500. So like 3-4, 3-5, 4-6, something like that.
Yeah.
It's not going to be pretty. The one nice thing I can say for the Saints, and then this kind of goes for the season. Unfortunately, this is my biggest fear going into this season. Just kind of like what you said before, they needed so many things to go right to reach their maximum potential. Their maximum potential was and is a playoff team. But the number of miracles that would have to happen at this point is pretty staggering.
Yeah.
Just because of all of these injuries. But the one thing I'm glad I've seen through two games and I want to keep seeing is, one, this team does play together. And that's the opposite of what you had like in 2014 and even through parts of last year until like later in the year where they kind of seemed to figure it out. Like, they don't look as distorted as a group, especially on the defense. And identity is a huge part of playing well defensively, and Vaccaro is clearly the catalyst for the defense just because of his energy, his tenacity, not to mention the fact that he's a playmaker and he plays really well. But I want to keep seeing the young guys make steps. And if I can't have a playoff season, that's fine. Give me a 5-11 year where they have a bunch of really close games they lose and there's a lot of heartbreakers and, you know, our collective livers nearly die, but all the young guys develop and start giving you those flashes where if he fixes A and B, that's a scary player. And you go down the list and you see like 8 guys that you can basically say the same things. If he fixes that and that, we got something here. And you go into next year with a really high draft pick and you take the best pass rusher that you can get your hands on, period. You just get a blue chip. I don't care if he gives up big runs like Gallet used to. Give me a guy that can just get to the fucking quarterback when he wants to.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you fix the line and you use some of that money. There's a chance that next year and the year after, provided Breeze doesn't die, the weapons are there. The young players are there to make a run. But you have to see improvement throughout the year this year, which to me is my biggest complaint from this game and also going forward is, and this is the hardest thing for Sean Payton to do. He never does it. Play the young kids. Get Stephon Anthony's ass out there. Play Daniel Lasco. If Mark Ingram starts having a bad game or Hightower or cadets dropping everything, give Lasco 10 snaps in a row because he can do both roles. He's a great receiver out of the backfield. He can pass protect.
Yeah.
You know, he can run through the tackles. It's not like he can't do all of those things. Give him a chance to show that freak athlete translates on the field.
The Saints only play young kids when they have to. You know, and the bottom line is, you know, everybody talks about this disaster of Gallet. They weren't going to play Gallet until Will Smith. They moved Will Smith to Gallet's spot, and they weren't going to play Gallet until Will Smith got hurt.
Nope.
You know, so they don't play the young kids. And that's the thing. Like, to me, obviously, I want to see, like, they're going to have to play Harris. They're going to have to play Crawley. You know, hopefully PJ Williams comes back. But if you get at the end of the year and you say, okay, Bro's back and a broken leg is kind of a freak thing. That's not necessarily doesn't mean that
he'll be back in about he'll be back probably after the bye.
You know, so if you say we've got Bro, we've got P.J. Williams, and we've got Harris at corner. And those are three really good corners. So then you've got three good corners. And even if Crawley is, like, slightly better than Corey White, you know, then you can go, okay, we got four guys. Then you can bring in a veteran guy as your fifth guy, and suddenly you're okay as long as you don't have Festalis, you know, Locust and Pestilence attack the corners in 2017, right? You know, and if Rankins, you know, you get 8 good weeks out of Rankins, well, then you're looking okay, you know? But right now, the thing is for the Saints is they've got to win some football games so it doesn't spiral on them, you know? They gotta scrape by, and they've got to go and beat Atlanta at home. I don't care. I don't care that Atlanta is up 13-7 on Oakland today. Oakland was my survivor pick. But you know, they've got to go and win that. They've got to go next week and win that football game. San Diego's beaten the Jaguars 21-0. But I mean, if you go out and you at 2-0, you feel like the hole, Brian, is not insurmountable to make something of your year, because at 0-2 you feel like, okay, we can get a win, and then you go into the next week and you're like, okay, we're 1-2, if we could just climb back to 500, we can, it just takes 2 wins, right? But then when you get to 0-3 and 0-4, then it takes all this energy, you know, like the Saints last year, they were 1-4, it took all this energy to get them to 4-4, you know. So I mean, next week is basically do or die, or you're starting to look at mock drafts for 2017. Quick, before we get out of here, give me your player of the game, Brian.
Kenny Vaccaro.
Kenny Vaccaro.
I really wanted to say Cam Jordan, but Kenny Vaccaro, that first fumble, just the way he was flying around, I got to give it to Kenny.
Yeah, and I'm giving it to Kenny Vaccaro too. And I'll say this for Dennis Allen. I think he has a definite plan on defense, and he definitely has a strategy as to what he wants them to do. I don't know if it'll hold up with no corners that are the corners they have are MAC quality, but we'll see. Brian, thanks for pinch hitting. Thanks for everybody in the chat room. We'll see you tomorrow. Drink your sorrows away. What more do you want me to say? Until next week, the bar is closed.